Marcus and Heather Red, thank you very much for joining us from Isaiah 55 this morning. And we appreciate you, what you're doing, and saw what you sent Shannon. And, but just would like to kind of get an update from you personally, how things are going for you, what you're doing. The kids, I saw, maybe start with the kids, Calder and Samantha. And, you're homeschooling more so this year, I guess, than previous, Heather. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So, when the pandemic started in, March of 2020, it was like right at spring break, for them. And so, I knew pretty quickly that they weren't going to go back, partly because of the format that they were going to have to go back to, this online format. I just knew that neither of them would do very well in that. And I just so happened to have a friend that was already homeschooling. And so actually she and I ended up homeschooling, last year together. Which was really great, helped me build my confidence in homeschooling. And then she and her family moved to West Virginia, in April. So this year is like just us. And so we are adjusting to, being alone and doing a new curriculum, but I feel like, the kids are doing really well in it. They mostly get along with one another and, you know, play nicely and all that stuff, which is a huge blessing. And it's been really nice. So we go up, on Fridays for Friday prayer and lunch. And so it's been nice that, like, even the team, so the rest of my, you know, what's the word in English? My teammates. Yeah. Have commented like that they feel like the kids have a confidence that they didn't have before, or, you know, that they're so engaged and, you know, well behaved and, all that. So it's been affirming to me that this is right where God wants us and has us. And so we've also joined a homeschool co-op group here in the area. And so, you know, we're able to go and meet with other families who are also, homeschooling and, you know, bounce ideas off of one another and just get to know other families, other kids. So I think that they're really benefiting from that. And then we also have, you know, some friends here in the neighborhood that they go fishing with in the canals, you know, and play in the park and whatnot. So I feel like they're doing really well. So that's been fun to see and fun to be a part of, you know, just that learning process. I feel like I'm learning all over again. And, you know, now I actually enjoy it than when I was in school and didn't. So I think it's been really good.
Yeah, we're good. That sounds like clearly a step in the right direction. You take those steps and you don't know for sure if it's right or wrong, but interesting how the confirmations come.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I've appreciated it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And the church, are you worshiping now on the Texas side or do you go?
So we did, we're just now about a year back from sabbatical. The Isaiah 55 mandates every 4 years. And, you know, and during sabbatical, you kind of think, well, what's working, what's not working, what, you know, what do you need to add, what do you need to take out? And one of the things was I felt like for me and for the kids especially, worshiping in English was something that was really important to us. And, of course, at the time or when we came – on sabbatical and when we came back, everyone was doing the pandemic thing. And so it was easy to get online and to be able to, worship in virtually to a degree in English. But we also wanted to maintain our connections and our relationship with the church in Mexico. And so we were praying for a church, an English speaking church that met not on Sunday mornings that would allow us to do both. And so, we have a friend here in the Valley, who came from Harlingen and came over to the McAllen, Edinburgh area, our side of the valley, to plant a church. and they were meeting on Sunday evenings. Since we've been back, we've been meeting with Camino de Fe, Mario Choco's church in Mexico on Sunday mornings. And then in the evenings, we go to the Crossing church plant in Edinburgh near where we are. And so that really has been a blessing that we're able to worship and learn in English, and the kids as well. Have relationships there. And then we're also helping a pastor friend out in the church plant, you know, helping establish that.
I mean, I certainly understand that, and me not speaking, you know, un poquito Spanish, having been at Camino de Fe, and you know, it's more of a meditation than it is, like out of this, but in terms of understanding, but you guys are obviously well ahead of me in language ability there, but that's certainly understanding for the kids to grow up in the where they really are getting it and have friends right there too. So yeah, well, back out then to Isaiah 55 and the role that you're filling, and several of us at least received Nono's newsletter yesterday or the day before. Yeah, I read it last night, but so a little bit of updates there. Things are continuing to kind of be restored from post-pandemic. We hope post-pandemic, but so just, you know, sounds like there's a lot of industrial arts kind of things happening, Marcus, and I know you're very much a part of that. What else can you want to fill us in on those things?
I want to brag on my teammates a little bit. When the pandemic first came, we were on our sabbatical. We had 6 months of sabbatical during the first 6 months of the pandemic. And I remember coming back and kind of hearing the updates, from everyone. A lot of mission teams and a lot of missionaries were, you know, felt kind of stuck. Didn't feel like they could go out and do ministry in the same way. And I remember, coming back from sabbatical and just hearing the story from our teammates at how, they really were able to adapt, you know, and they were doing, you know, instead of having community outreach in the community center, they kind of went out into the neighborhood and were providing activity packs for them. And it was just really neat to see the way that, sort of God led Isaiah 55 to continue working, in the pandemic. And, so when we came back, my roles changed slightly. I was directing the vocational or the trade school and vocational program, and found that to be really more of an administrative heavy task. They really needed someone with more administrative skills. And so I was able to pass that specific responsibility on to Meg Randall, one of our newer teammates. And then my focus has shifted to managing overall management of work teams. And then focus more on the actual, application of the trades, you know, so I got the administration part off my hands. So I'm able to be more involved in the shop, in the manufacturing, with kind of the people on the ground, which was something I really wanted to do. And then also Heather and I took on our summer internship program. That was something that other teammates did previously, and that position became available. And so this last summer, of course, we didn't get to have work teams in person. You know, it was the first year of the pandemic. It was, hey, no work teams. The second year was hard because we were scheduling for teams, but then it wasn't because of border closures. We just weren't able to. Right. So, you know, you work hard all summer and then you watch, you know, week by week as your teams get canceled. But we did continue with our summer internship program, and that was a real blessing. I think it really fulfilled a calling for Heather and I, sort of a hole in ministry. Heather's been working with young adults all of her ministry career, and then I think it was a new calling for me. But the Lord really blessed that. We had four interns from the U.S. and Mexico this summer. And one intern coordinator, who was, if y'all know the Holidays, it was one of their daughters, Sarah Holiday.
Their youngest daughter.
Yeah. And so it was just, it was a real blessing to be able to pour into those five, young people all summer long and, sort of disciple, really more of the discipleship side of ministry, which I think going in is, so you're a missionary, you're going to recruit new Christians, but the Lord's really been leading us more towards the discipleship of young Christians, which I think we all agree is just as important. You get them in the door, but then you gotta raise them up in the faith.
Absolutely. And it sounded like from Nono's newsletter that some of the discipleship was included premarital counseling of some sort, but
that's right. Yeah. So we had the return, for the summer of two former, interns. One was longer term. Clint had been down for about a year and a half. And then his fiance came down for the summer.
But they had already been through our internship program. He was here in 2017 and mm-hmm. she was here in 2018. Mm-hmm. And so they actually, you know, kind of kept coming back for those week long trips and just happened to be on the same trip, several times, and that's how they met and began their relationship. So we just got back from their wedding in Indiana. And that was a lot of fun. And it was cool to look around the room and see all of the interns from this past summer were there. All of the interns for 2020 were there. And then there were a couple other interns, from other years that had come too. So it was just kind of a great, I don't know, great testimony of just the familialness of Isaiah 55 and that, like, you know, that the work that God's doing and the doors that God's opening up in those young people's lives, I think, is really kind of cool to see, to be witness to.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and if my memory serves right, that community in Indiana is its own kind of a very close community as well, and a lot of people have come from there.
Right. Yeah. But we had interns from Mexico, from Nebraska, from where else? Illinois. Like, they were all there. So it was cool.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the Christmas tree behind you there. It reminds me of the Christmas tree stands. Is that still part of the production?
Yeah, the Christmas tree stands is not. It's, you know, Nono is real passionate about manufacturing and these little, the product development. So we are, the project that's filling the halls of the wood, overflowing the halls of the wood shop is, we are working in partnership with a company here in the Valley. It's a medical group and they're opening new medical clinics. And so they've hired us to build out the furniture for their offices. And it's a nice relationship because it is cooperative. You know, we can work back and forth. They understand, they have a bit of a mission themselves. They are doing, I'm not sure exactly the term. Some people call it the boutique medical. It's sort of a concierge. Yeah. So you pay your doctor and your monthly fee, and then you can go in as many times as you need to. So they're offering sort of a different family oriented type of medical care. And then because of their relationship with us, we're able to work back and forth. We have some limitations, you know, working in the community. In the past, when we were working with the deaf students, and it's that we can't always produce on demand, you know, and so they can understand that I can work back and forth if we need to make some changes or change up the timeline a little bit, or hey, you know what, we really want to do this for you, but we don't have the tools. Can you forward us some funds? And so, that way they get something unique and special for their operation. And then the way Isaiah 55 benefits is through those types of, contracts, we're able to bolster our tool set. at the trade school during the vocational. I mean, there's tools and things that we can afford to buy and fix that we wouldn't normally be able to. Materials, we have a lot of sort of leftover scraps, drops from the projects we're creating, and the carpentry school just, I mean, they just pick those up, they capitalize on that, and there's a lot of free material that they have access to because of some of these larger projects.
And the plans too, right? The actual plans for the furniture we can use.
One of the arrangements in this relationship is that as they pay us, help us develop some of these pieces of furniture, they're allowing us to go ahead and sell those outside of that relationship. And so there's a couple different chair designs that we're excited about. There's some neat furniture that we've been able to develop that fits our tool set, that fits the skill set of our community members, that we could possibly go and sell outside of that contract, outside of that relationship. And you know, there's that side, there's the manufacturing side, but a couple of weeks ago, I went to drop some of this furniture off at one of these medical clinics, and one of the doctors was there who hadn't previously known about our ministry, and a couple of patients, you know, and I'm just dropping off the chair and she starts asking me questions. And all of a sudden the two patients that were there in the waiting room, they start, you know, getting excited. So what's going on? Where is this? So this furniture isn't just, you know, it's not just some shop somewhere, but it's benefiting kids in Reynosa. And oh wow, that's so neat. You know, their relationship, the doctor said, oh, I'd love to come and see the ministry and bring my mother, and she would love, you know. And so it's one thing to just be building furniture or doing manufacturing. But the unique capacity in which we're doing it, you know, opens up relationships and possibility for relationships and more partnerships. And so it's been really neat to see the way that God uses, you know, all kinds of different things, different relationships, different projects to open doors for the ministry and for his kingdom.
That's interesting, the way it kind of expands, you know, mm-hmm. just even by word of mouth, so to speak, you're delivering chairs.
Yeah.
Of those, well, in the school, would also blend over into the manufacturing. Are they mostly students from the school or some from the neighborhood as well?
Yeah, so that's a shift that we've seen with I think with the deaf parents, I'm going to generalize a little bit, but there's a little bit of a fearfulness or a protectiveness that the deaf students have over their kids, and rightly so, and it's something that we try to break down. You know, these kids are the same as anyone else. They can learn the same as anyone else. And so that's one of the cultural challenges we've had. So during the pandemic, we really lost that direct access to the deaf students. We were still doing online. We're still doing virtual, but it was difficult to do vocational. Something that's really interesting and, you know, a blessing is that I thought for sure during the pandemic that our neighborhood of Aquiles was going to get just, you know, destroyed. Like, oh, these people don't wash anything. You know, they're all, you know, they're, they don't wear masks. They don't follow the rules. And yet that neighborhood is just, I haven't heard of any COVID cases in that little neighborhood, where we are. And so after sort of the initial, year or so, people started coming back out and interacting, and it was kind of business as usual in Aquiles, Sardin. And so we've taken that opportunity to, because we haven't had the deaf students, to really expand the neighborhood portion of that vocational training. And all the credit to Meg, she's done an amazing job. And now we're teaching, we have a little electrical class on top of our carpentry and welding and sewing. And the neighborhood folks, I mean, we've got adults and kids. We have a whole family taking carpentry together. It's been a real shift, a real change. And I think we all desire to bring, the deaf community back in at some point. Right now it's just not that time.
A lot of our students also are young. The deaf students are younger.
That's right. That's right.
And so they haven't like aged up to be able to be in the vocational program. So there's a little bit of rebuilding that's happening as well.
Yeah.
With the younger grades, and eventually they'll get there.
That was another way that God sort of blessed it, because we knew this age gap was coming. We had these older kids that were graduating, and we didn't have the sort of that middle-aged student body to come in to vocational to replace them. And so this is keeping everyone, the teachers busy, the shops busy with the neighborhood folks. Also, the deaf school has been, the virtual curriculum has been something that they've been kind of working with before the pandemic to a small degree. And so the pandemic sort of given the deaf school, an excuse, if you will, to really focus on that virtual learning platform. And during the pandemic, when they started making things available online, they were finding, you know, they were having students online from all over Mexico. At one point, they had an adult sign language class with over 100 people signed up from the community, from the Reynosa community, adults, non-deaf people, and which just, I think we were all really surprised at. But so the deaf school continues to grow, just in ways that we hadn't quite foreseen at the time. We've got a newish employee from Mexico City who is working on that curriculum development side with Carlos.
Yeah. And I would say too, as far as the vocational program, you know, kind of going back to sort of this circular pattern within ministry, all of the work that our teammates did to go out and, you know, deliver those packets to the kids of what they would normally be doing at the community center, it allowed us to put, like, this kid goes with these parents, or, you know, these two are cousins and they live here. And so it really, you know, allowed us to actually meet parents, because we, you know, we had the kids every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. But we didn't really know who anybody belonged to, or very few. And so, I think, you know, having then the parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles knowing who we were personally, I personally feel like it's created this sort of bridge in us being able to have people in the community be interested in vocational. There's a sense of, you know, trust, I think, that wasn't there before. Like, the, you know, oh, that's just the place that the kids go, you know, like, oh, that's just the community center where the kids go. And it's like, well, no, there are opportunities for the adults as well. Or the older, you know, 16, 17, 18 year old kids that are just roaming the street, not doing anything helpful. You know, to come in and learn something, learn a trade. And there's that trust there. And so I also feel like it's helping with retention, maybe, you know, just that there's that trust and whatnot. And so I think that's something that didn't exist pre-pandemic.
Yeah. Relationship with the parents.
You know, the relationship with parents. And there's also now a Monday night Bible study. So it's basically this church plant in Aquiles, and it's been consistently, you know, core group of anywhere from 15 to 25 people, I think. So, you know, so not all bad things happen with the pandemic. I think for our ministry, we're seeing lots of different unique benefits that we couldn't have conjured up, you know, like that was just the Lord's doing through this really terrible thing. So.
Yeah, we've heard that from so many people that we do a weekly Zoom, and whether it's through the Zoom platform or similar, you know, online stuff, or just like you're saying, it has opened up new opportunities that were probably there before, but we're forced to do them now, and wow, this is even better.
And
it's harder. It's different. Now, I want to honor your time, and I know you you have a place to be, and in a while, but, so, Just anything else you would like to tell us? Any more updates that you want to share with us?
Yeah, so the Monday before we left on our trip to Indiana, our beloved dog Darby passed away unexpectedly in her sleep. You know, she was about to be 15, so she was older, and that, you know, I understand and I see God's hand even in that. Like, we were still home. We weren't on our trip. You know, like, we got to say goodbye and be with her and bury her, and it didn't happen on somebody else's watch. We didn't do that to anybody else. And it was just, she had a great day the day before. You know, we went on a walk, we played, she ate normal, she put the kids to bed with me, and so I definitely see God's hand in it, but I'm still sad. I'm still so sad. The kids are still so sad. So, you know, going on our trip sort of broke things up for us, and because she wouldn't have been on our trip with us, you know, so, right. But coming back home is just a little hard. You know, she's not here, and I had her before I had him. So, you know, so I'm really having a hard time. Kids are having a hard time, but, so just, you know, when you do pray for that, because it's a huge void in our home right now, and I know things will get better, but that was my first pet ever.
Oh, wow.
In my whole life. So I'm having a hard time.
Yeah. I've got two that are pushing that limit right there too. So some people say, oh, I'm never going to have another one. And that lasts about, you know, 2-3 months, and then they have another, but there are plenty of dogs out there. So,
But I partly feel like nobody can be as good as her. So I don't really.
Yeah, every dog I've ever had was the best dog I ever had.
Well, that's good to know.
One exception. But all right. Well, we'd like to pray for you. And so let us just do that. Bubba, would you start? Anybody else pray that we'd like to? We'll close out.
Lord, we just thank you for this time, the technology that we can talk to Marcus and Heather and hear about what's going on down in Isaiah 55. And Lord, I thank you for the years that we've been involved, starting with No-No and the ministry there, and how it's expanded, and the great work that's going on there now, that you would continue to bless them there. And Lord, encouraged to hear that during this pandemic time, so many things have happened that are helping spread the gospel. And I just thank you for the relationships that are being built with different people, starting with the deaf, but reaching out to their families and reaching out to people in the community and using these different forms of ministry to build that relationship to be able to share the gospel with many people, many more people down there. And Lord, for the internship program where different people come down and build relationships with you and then with each other. And then, Lord, you would strengthen that as these people come and work in the ministry and see what's going on. And Lord, would like to continue to be involved in ministry more, maybe than Isaiah 55 or somewhere else. So I just thank you for this time and just to hear about what's going on. So be with the family, be with the children, be with the homeschooling, Lord, and just encourage them over the loss of the dog. We know how that can go. And it's, it takes a while to get over it, so that you would encourage Heather and the family, Lord, as they deal with this. And Lord, again, I just thank you for the ministry there. I thank you for the involvement that Trinity has had over the years and we continue to have, Lord. That, sorry we missed our trip this year, but Lord, pray to open the door and February when we can go. So, Lord, you are so good, and we just thank you for this time to hear what's going on and continue to bless the work there and let it expand. And I pray this in Christ's name.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the work that you are doing through the pugs. Lord, it is clear that you're not only expanding the ministry and granting them great favor in that, but you're also allowing roots to go deep relationally with trust and community with the parents of the children that they've been able to meet. And even through more exposure through the virtual classrooms with the ESL, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for that. Lord, would you continue granting them favor and success in their work? Lord, I would also pray for the Rudds that you would surround them with friends that would pour into them and their church community. Thank you for leading them to a church where they can worship in English as a family and be poured into. They're discipling people, they're shepherding children, they're giving so much of their hearts and their faith. Lord, I pray that you would also surround them with people that would pour into them and encourage and strengthen them. I pray that today would be a blessed day for them and their family, and that you would watch over them always.
Dear God, we lift up Evan and Marcus and their ministry in Reynosa, and pray that you'll give them perseverance and their faith and their work in Mexico, and pray for the internships and the ability to carry on during the pandemic in such a magnificent way. Pray that you'll bless them and be with them in that ministry. In Christ's name we pray.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time and this technology we've just talked about. And thank you once again for the ability to communicate face-to-face, so to speak, over the miles, and the way you've used it with in Isaiah 55 with the deaf school to extend the reach into much wider Reynosa and even wider Mexico. And so we pray that that you would continue to use this and bless this effort. We thank you for the school and the beginnings there that have now extended into a neighborhood ministry and a growing neighborhood ministry with 15 to 20, 25 people even meeting for a Bible study. That's just so exciting to hear. But knowing that children have been coming week in and week out, that parents are being met through these children, and that the many things that are happening there, these industrial arts classes, carpentry and elect classes, and the woodworking, the chair manufacturing. Lord, we know that all of this is of you in the way that you work, where we set out as individuals committed to serving you, and we just thank you for Nono and Kate and their vision and the many who've come alongside them up until now with the summer interns that continue to work there. And we certainly thank you for Marcus and Heather and the roles that they fill as a part of this ministry. And pray that you give them wisdom and strength, endurance that is needed. We know that there are challenges day in and day out and for the long term. And yet they serve with a great sense of your call, and I pray that they would see your hand at work in and through them, and that you would continue to strengthen them for this. And I pray for their family as well, as they are part of these two churches now, Community of Faith and this other church and member. And I pray that, Father, that you would bless their time together as a family. Pray for Heather, and I continue to give her strength and wisdom as she teaches Calder and Samantha, and just that they would continue to grow, to know you and to serve you and to love you. Father, in all these things, we give you thanks and praise. You are our sovereign and mighty God, and we look to you, grateful for your blessings, grateful for the privilege as brothers and sisters in Christ to serve you in the places you've placed us. So it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.